It's the two-time Stellar Award considered, Spin Award nominated. You're listening to The Voice.
To The Voice.
The Psalmist Voice Radio Network.
This is Pastor Bill Jenkins of Destinland Christian Center in Rancho Cucamonga, California, and you're listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Walk with me, family. Let's go!
You're listening to The Voice, the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Are you ready to walk? Let's go!
You're listening to the hottest, most off-controversial, off-the-meters Christian radio station in the land. The Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Are you ready to walk, family? Let's go!
What's good, radio family? TPV Radio is just getting hotter, and we have an all-star lineup just for you. Mondays, Conversations with Joe and Jay at 7:30 a.m. Tuesdays, Victory Over the Waves of Life with author Deanne Lebrin at 6 p.m. Wednesdays, Illuminating Word Ministries with Dr. Apostle Forrest L. Walker Sr. at 5 p.m. Thursdays, Real Talk with Pastor Byron Sago at 4:30 p.m. Also, Dorothy Patterson, the reality coach, at 6 p.m. Fridays, the exclusive interview with yours truly, the Psalmist Voice, by appointment only. Saturdays is Saturdays Refet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones at 11 a.m., followed by the Locker Room with Coach D at 4 p.m. Sundays, TPV Reloaded at 2 p.m. with the Familia. Catch all of TPV Radio programming on Facebook Live at TPV Radio. Also, Live 365, tune in, and all of our podcasts, social media platforms. Walk with us in relationship, purpose, and promise. And let's go!
Keep it locked right here on TPV Radio, the station for inspiration. You never heard Christian radio quite like this. Get your fix 24/7 on the Psalmist Voice Radio Network.
Radio Network.
You're listening to Saturday's Buffet with Lorraine Brown, hosted by Roberta Jones, right now on TPV Radio.
There was a time I truly believed that I could do it on my own. But all that I found at the end of that road is that concept for me was all wrong. But I found a Savior who turned me around, and He placed His love on me, and I will trust Him, yeah. Bring them through.
Amen, amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning to some. Good afternoon to others. Welcome to the Saturday Buffet. My name is Tracy Davis. I am a guest host today for Sister Lorraine Brown and Sister Roberta Jones. Amen. Last week was so exciting and so powerful. The Lord really blessed. We had three awesome men, African-American men, on our panel, Brother Irvin, Brother Jeremiah, and Brother Kareem. Amen. And I just want to do a little recap of what we talked about last week. We are talking about dealing with grief. Amen. Brother Irvin, are you on the line?
I just talked with him, Sister Tracy. He said he got called in to work, so he's not on the line.
Okay, okay, all right. Well, hey, Sister Lorraine, how are you?
Hi, Mama, how you doing?
I'm good, I'm good. All right. Brother Jeremiah, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
How are you this fine Saturday?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us again. We enjoyed you all so much on last week. Sister Roberta, yes. Are you on the line?
Sister Roberta?
I'm here. Okay, here Good afternoon, everyone.
Amen. I know Brother Kareem had an event that was running a little longer than expected. Brother Kareem, are you on yet? He may have to join us a little later, but just want to check. Are you there? Okay. All right. Well, he'll get with us once he's finished. I just, you know, God is so good how he sets things up and how he sets us up to be blessed and go through things that he's already predestined us to go through. On last week, we spoke with three gentlemen about grief and how they deal with grief. And it was so refreshing because, you know, young black men usually don't talk about what they're feeling, their emotions, and how they are affected by things. So it was so nice to hear young black men talk about feelings and emotions. And we talked about the five stages of grief. Some people said there's seven stages. We went with the five stages. The first stage that we talked about, excuse me, the first stage was denial and how, you know, we, when we first hear about the death of a loved one or a friend, we sit there and we're, oh God, this can't be, you know, our reaction is just unbelief. And we talked about how, even in denial of grief, you know, the word of God talks about that. And grief, although unexpected, is something that at some point, death, although unexpected, is something at some point that all of us will have to go through. And grief is the emotion that often accompanies the death of someone that we love. So we can go through grief and be in denial, but at the same time, we have to trust God through it. So that song, the opening song, was so befitting for where we are in dealing with grief. Stage two was anger. Oh my goodness. You get anger. You ask, how can you get anger about someone's death? It's very easy. You can get mad at yourself. You can get mad at other people. You can get mad at even the deceased, you know, the person that left you. Why did you do this? Why didn't you tell me you were going to go?
Right.
Sometimes even the people that are left behind, you know, we divert that anger toward them. And the Bible talks about that too. The Bible tells us we can get angry, but sin not. So again, God knew all of these things were coming, and he had the word of God that he left for us that helps us along the way. And then the third stage was bargaining. We want to bargain with God. We want to, you know, well, what if this and what if that? But the bottom line is we have to understand the good and perfect will of God. Amen?
Yes.
So Amen. God knew that these deaths were coming. God knew that we were going to be affected and hurt. God knew that all of these emotions were coming. So he gives us the word of God to help us along the way. So I just want to talk about, before we go to the fourth stage, I want to talk about something else that kind of comes with death and grief. Guilt. Guilt. After a death occurs, it seems, you know, pretty natural for us to go back and, you know, rehash the things that different people, the people that have left us, the memories that we have, the things that they said to us and things that they left us. And we go back and we think about those things. And then guilt comes, which is a very powerful emotion. And actually, it holds us bondage.
Mm-hmm.
It holds us bondage to the point where we can't really grieve or deal with our emotions because we're stuck in the guilt, the what if, you know, what if I had done this or what if I had done that? Jeremiah, if you don't mind, Brother Jeremiah, if you would tell your story again for new listeners that may have not heard us last week, can you tell us how grief affected you?
Yes, ma'am. So when I was 16, I lost one of my best friends. He got killed at a party. And like you said, with the guilt, like I said last week, I really feel like I could have done something to change. Well, at the moment, I feel like I could do something to change what had happened. Me learning now, getting older, knowing that it was in God's plan, it was no changing it anyway. But I felt guilt. I felt like I was supposed to be at the party with him. I know if I was at the party, I would have been with him. So, you know, I put some blame on myself. But like I said, growing and becoming a man, I understand that it's certain things are going to happen for a reason that you can't have any control over because it's a supernatural control over it.
Mhm. Mhm. So that there is like a realistic guilt where, you know, I did something to actually offend someone. And then there's unrealistic guilt where you blame yourself for things that you had no control over, like what you just said. Guilt actually causes us to punish ourselves and keeps us focused on the past. So what you just said was a powerful statement, Brother Jeremiah. There was nothing you could do. You couldn't control that, you know. But yet this thing called guilt, it kind of jumps on your back and it holds you hostage. So we have to remember that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So we know that guilt couldn't have come from God. So as believers, we have to get to a point where we say, okay, now I got to get into the word. I got to pray. I got to talk to somebody because I got to get this off of me. So Sister Lorraine, can you talk to us a little bit about guilt and how guilt tends to affect us, or if you've even gone through it with the death of someone that you love?
I had more or less that thing where I had to forgive. I got mad, Tree. My mother was killed when I was really, really young, and a lot of motherly attention that I was seeking, I sought it in a lot of the wrong places. And so there was a problem with me feeling like she had abandoned me. I went to seek out some medical attention, and the person that I went to see told me at one of the therapy sessions, she said, next week when you come, bring a picture of your mother. So I thought it odd, and I thought it strange, but I was paying the lady. So I brought a picture of my mom, Mama 8x10, I got to the session that day, and she said she had two chairs facing each other. And she said, place your mom's picture in the chair in front of you. And I did. And she said, now tell your mother how you felt when she passed. And I really thought, you know, this is kind of stupid, but, you know, okay, I'll do it. So I began to express to my mom's picture that I was angry at her because a lot of people had misused me. And had she stayed here, I probably would not have endured those types of treatment. And so I was angry with her for leaving me, and I had to clear the air. And that really helped me. So for somebody that's listening today, Tracy, that parent has left them or loved one has left them, and I really wasn't dealing with the death of my mom. I really wasn't even allowing the fact that I was angry at my mother to surface. I had to seek medical attention in order to even find out I felt like that. But that simple exercise really helped me to get beyond that closed door in my life. As far as guilt, I was too young. I think I was, I was like 6 years old, 5 years old. I was too young to really feel guilt about my mom's death, but I did feel like she had abandoned me, so I was kind of angry as I grew up, and I received the hurts of life, and I didn't have my mom to vent to, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Absolutely. I know I went, you know, through guilt from a couple deaths. You think about if I had called them more, if I had done this, if I had done that, you know. But ultimately, there was nothing I could do to change, you know, the outcome of the fact that it was their appointed time to leave. Sister Roberta, do you have anything to add about dealing with the guilt associated with grief?
Well, one of the things that to add, you know, most of the time we are people that look for a reason why. Mm-hmm. We think that everything should be explained and it happened because of. But once we realize that life just happens because it's life, and there's nothing we can do about it. Like you were telling Jeremiah, even if you would have been there, you know, when we look in the Bible, Mary and Martha told Jesus the same. I mean, Mary told him, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Mm-hmm. So they had the same problem, but Jesus let, you know, he had to let them know this didn't happen just so he could die, but it happened for another reason. And death brings forth life. Most of the time it's in the pain of someone dying that sometimes people come to get to know the Lord. They get closer to him. But everything has a reason, and we want to know what's the reason. Sometimes God let us know, and sometimes he doesn't. But yes, guilt, you know, there's so many things that I place the blame, guilt on myself for so many different things, not just death, just, you know, even in the raising of your children, you know, you feel guilty. If I could have been a better parent, if I could have been, if I would have done this, I would have, you know. But guilt, but what guilt does, if you stay there, it stops you from moving.
That's right.
Definitely.
You know, it kind of paralyzes you. It stops you from moving. And it's a trick of the enemy, because if you stay trying to figure out why, you can't move on. You know, you have to keep going. But guilt is trick of the devil to try and keep us from moving.
Amen. Amen. It's always interesting, you know, to listen to someone talk about the very thing that you've gone through yourself and hear how they coped with it. I know some of the things in healthcare, you know, I deal with the elderly in nursing homes, and we often have deaths, you know, that occur, and the wives call and children calling, they're expressing their grief and their pain and their guilt. And some of the things that we tell them on how to cope with the guilt is to talk to someone, you know, tell someone that you trust how you're feeling. And I am all for counseling. I'm all for it. I'm for it spiritually. I'm for it psychologically. I think it is a very helpful agent for us. So go speak to somebody about it. Sometimes when you can't get to somebody, I like to journal. Journaling is very therapeutic for me. I like to write things down. And then I like to watch God take those things and turn that frown upside down. So write it down. If you're feeling bad about things that happened in the past, this is the biggest thing that a lot of us, especially as Christians, don't do. We go to God for forgiveness, but we have to learn to forgive ourselves. That's huge. You know, sometimes talk in the mirror so you can see yourself and tell yourself, I forgive you. You know, you weren't there. Maybe you could have done other things different, but, you know, that's behind us. Forgive yourself so that you can move on. And allow yourself just to remember the good things. That's so that you don't stay stuck. And, you know, like Sister Roberta says, stay paralyzed. But it's so good, you know, the word of God, once again, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you are waddling in guilt, you can confess that unto the Lord, and he will forgive you of that. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So again, God has given us the roadmap to release us from the entrapment that the enemy tries to keep us in. Pastor Chris, what say ye about dealing with guilt associated with grief?
Well, amen. God bless all of you. And before I move forward, I got to give a shout out to all the ladies that are on the panel, because it's Mother's Day tomorrow. So I wanted to give all of you a TPD shout out. Happy Mother's Day to you. And I wanted to give a public happy anniversary. I know it's past, but wanted to give happy anniversary to our very own Roberta Jones. Happy anniversary. Love you. But okay, I'm gonna stop. Okay. All right. We got a little happy. I'm sorry. We got Mother's Day and then Sister Roberta's anniversary. We're about to jump out of our seat. I'm sorry. My bad. Anywho. When it comes to grief, grief is something that can be a lifelong task for some. It could be crippling for others. But see, we have to understand that this is what we come to. We all come to a point in our lives that we have to experience this thing called death and grief. Mm-hmm. Whether it's tragic, natural, suffering, whatever it is, as human beings, it's in our nature to want to survive. It's in our nature not to want to die. It's in our nature always wanting to go forward. But see, we have to understand that this flesh that we are housed in, it's fickle. It's going to die. It decays every day. But the best thing about it is when you are a believer, not a saint, not a churchgoer, a believer, when you have a relationship with the Father, comfort is right there. But it's up to us to take it. See, we have this issue called free will. This is what's stifling us from getting over our grief, our guilt, sadness, depression, whatever it is that we go through as a human being. We are making choices based off emotionalism. uh-oh. See, we were taught that in church. See, when we get goosebumps, we start praise breaking, right, in some churches. See, when we start feeling certain things, we let our emotions control our body. See, the thing is, God is not about the emotion. He's about the heart. See, I'm going to get in trouble with that statement. But God is about the heart. He wants to repair what's broken in your heart. But we got to let him. But, okay, let me stop preaching. So I'm going to go back, me and the band chilling. So, Sister Tracy, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Chris.
Can I say something, Pastor Chris?
Absolutely.
Scripture says that. What he said is so profound, because the scripture said God is the God of all comfort. All comfort. And so it doesn't matter what we're going. He's the comforter. He's the comforter. So we go to him for comfort. I was talking to a young lady, and she just thought God was mad at her because she wasn't tied. And I'm like, God is so angry with me. I said, God is love. He loves you. He's not angry with you. He know you don't have the faith to tithe, but what he's doing, he's talking to you to bring you to that place now. So what you do, you go to him and you talk to him about it. I don't have the faith, Lord, but I want to do it. I don't know. Help me. So he's the God of all comfort. No matter what you're going through, he can comfort you and bring you out of it. That's the key. Pastor Chris is so right on. It's so awesome. And if we as believers get to that look, I'm going to go through some things because I'm in this fallen world. I'm flesh. But when I go through, the comforter, the comforter, he's the God of all. He's going to comfort me in it. So I'm just blown away with just that statement he said. I'm done.
Sister Tracy, I'm with Mom. It's like, that's why after Corona, I just can't go back to the house like we were. You got this young lady that thinks that God is going to blow her up because she's not giving tithes. And we're in the church and we're not teaching common sense gospel that God loves us in spite of who we are. And once we figure out the depth of God's love, we'll stop taking his tithe because of how much he loves us. It's just like being in a relationship with a husband and a wife. Once I figure out how much my husband loves me, respect is like natural. It goes along with the biscuits and the pancakes. The problem in our houses is we're not feeling loved and celebrated, and we're acting that out. So when we figure out God's love, we'll stop a lot of this foolishness that we do. And that's not on grief, is it? Okay,
That's good. Because it's a heart thing.
That's Pastor Chris. See, I told you have to watch Pastor Chris. He brought a whole nother sermon.
Amen.
I just was being obedient. I'm sorry. I just, you know, I roll on a different vein. I just let it go. I'm sorry.
Pastor Chris, keep on rolling. I'm rolling with you.
Thank you, Sister Joan. Thank you. I won't get beat up by Sister Lorraine later on. I don't want to get spiritually beat. I'm sorry.
Amen. Well,
I love you, Sister
Brown. I thank y'all for that. Thanks for the input. Amen. It is so true. In all that we do, you know, it's not about the emotions. It is about the heart. I tell people a lot of times, even Christians, it's a heart thing. And when they get to the point where they love God with their whole heart, that's things that they no longer can do. You know, you can't go and play lottery no more and things like that. It's just things that your heart isn't in it anymore. And the same thing with tithing or whatever else we're doing. Once your heart is totally in it, then it comes second nature for you to do.
Yep. First major, actually, for you to do. Amen. All right. So we're going to get back on track. We're going to go to a song, and then we're going to come back and talk about the fourth stage of grief. Amen?
Amen.
You're listening to Saturday's Buffet with Lorraine Brown, hosted by Roberta Jones, right now on TPV Radio.
Searching for peace that we cannot find. Yeah, yeah. Asking questions 'cause we don't know why. Oh, yes. We all need you to make a way. And we all
This is God's Journey Child, Fed Old Chestnut, and you're listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Walk with me, family. Let's go!
You're listening to Saturday's Buffet with Lorraine Brown, hosted by Roberta Jones, right now on TPV Radio.
Amen, amen. Welcome back.
We need you, Brother Titus Showers. Amen. Just so happens that that's my cousin, but bless the Lord, he is an awesome song. We thank God. We thank God for that song because we do. We need him in everything, in the little things, in the big things, in the things that we think we got all wrapped up and we got it all mapped out. We need him in all things. Amen. Amen. So there was a question about what I said about playing the lottery. We're going to get back on track, but the question was, is it wrong? One thing that I learned a long time ago is when we question, is something wrong, I ask myself, is it glorifying God? Does playing the lottery glorify God? So that's where I, when it comes to any type of gambling or whatever you do, anything that you do that that you might have questions about. That's what I ask myself. So, Sister Roberta, I'm going to ask you, is playing the lottery wrong? That's one of our callers, our listeners, is asking about that. What say you?
I think Pastor Chris should go to a song right now. What? Will it send you to hell? No.
Right.
It won't send you to hell. No. But the thing of it is, if you're doing it to, God has given you a way for provision. He gave you the greatest provision there is. He told us that if we give, he said, give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed out, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. So God has given you the method of prospering.
Yeah.
You know, so it's your motive and why you're doing things. Do you want to just throw your money out? I'd say this. You know, do you want to just take your money and throw it out? Do you do that? Just take it and throw it out? Because when you play lotteries, that's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You're not. He said, be a good steward of your money. So that's not being a good steward. To trust God is, you know, if you put your trust in the lottery, he told you to trust me. So if it glorify God, then the question is, does it give God glory?
Right.
You know, when you go to play the lottery, do you say, oh, glory to God, you know, do you praise him? So, we were created to give God glory, give him glory.
Right.
Whatever we do, we're supposed to be glorified God in our life, that he would shine. So is he shining when you do that? So, you know, it's your walk is personal.
Right.
Personal.
That's right.
If the one that you need to ask the creator, you know, it's about relationship. You know, Pastor Chris says it so often, it's about relationship. You know, he told you to give. He told you, you know, to tithe. He told you how to do it as a believer, not a world brain on their system. So is it God's system or the world system?
Mm-hmm.
I'll let Pastor Chris get deep with it, you know.
Uh-oh.
Let's go to Sister Lorraine first before we let Pastor Chris leave, because we know how that's going to go.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you, because I did not want to follow that joker there. Listen, how I responded to the question was, lottery is a chance, and walking with God is faith and trust. I think about if Jesus came to my house and knocked on my door today, would I offer him water, pop, or a strong drink? If Jesus was with me in my car and I was going about my daily life, would I say, Jesus, come on, lay hands on my lottery ticket because I want to win? So whatever I won't do if he's standing next to me, I should not do because he lives in me.
That's good. That's good. Amen. Amen. Brother Jeremiah, is this something you want to chime in on?
No, I don't really know the answer to it. So I'm letting y'all get a free game out.
Okay. Pastor Chris.
Uh-oh. We're going to get in trouble with this statement, but I got to be obedient. All right.
Mm-hmm.
The lottery is like the tithe preached today. Uh-oh. Yeah. Think about it. Now, a lot of us, now I'm not saying tithing is wrong, so don't inbox me. What I am saying is we are taking a chance. When we are tithing to some ministries that's just all about the Benjamins and not about your soul, you're playing the lottery. Now, the lottery in the natural is the same thing. You're throwing away your what? Money. So, again, be mindful. You have to have a relationship. I'm sorry to keep saying it, but it's the truth. In order for you to understand what to do with your money, you have to have a relationship with God. I don't care if Bill Gates knocked on your door. I don't care. You have to understand that, yes, we have to be good stewards of our finances. But what people don't understand, that your first ministry is your tithe and offering.
Mm.
What's that?
Mm-hmm.
Your family. Uh-oh. We about to shut the whole church system down. We preach this thing. We want to put labels on, oh, it's wrong to smoke. Oh, it's wrong to play the lottery. Oh, you're going to hell in a handbasket. Well, you have to have a personal relationship first. I don't care how many times you go to church. I don't care how many times you go to Bible study. If you're not applying it in your life, then it's going to be business as usual. And then when something happens in your life, you feel in some kind of way because you threw away the seed and you wasn't being prayerful on how to plant it. Let me stop before we shut this whole thing down. So, Mr. Creasy, I'm done. Back to you.
Amen. I agree with everything that all of you said. Amen. And it goes back to, number one, it's a heart thing. Number two, it's relational. And number three, does it glorify God? That anything that we do, it doesn't matter. You know, we want to categorize certain things. You know, certain moves that we make are okay and others aren't. But what does God say about it? That's what it boils down to. Amen. All right, we're going to get back on grief, and then we're going to let whatever God want to do, we're going to let him do it. But we want to talk about stage four of the grief process. Amen. Depression. Depression often leads to you become emotionally and physically removed from your family, from your peers, from your friends, from your everyday life. You are going through the motions and you're like a gerbil on a wheel. That's it. You're just going round and round. It's like you can't get anywhere. It's hard to face the life, the day-to-day life issues alone, and you appear to be kind of like in a trance, in no man's land. So you ask yourself, like, what is the point? You know, what is the point? I have nothing to live for. I have nothing left to give and all this stuff. This is one of the stages associated with grief. And I'm going to say this. Depression is not just associated with a death. I personally went through several stages of depression throughout life. I remember a time when I was younger, I went through depression, didn't know it was depression. I just knew I just felt in a dark place. And I felt like I couldn't talk to anybody. And I felt like I couldn't, no matter what I did, you know, it wasn't good enough or it wasn't whatever. I went through it in the military when I was away abroad, away from home. I went through stages of depression. And after having a surgery, it threw me into a stage of depression. And, you know, one might ask, well, you know the Lord, you know the joy of the Lord is your strength, and, you know, and all this. Yep, I know the word. I know it very well, but I also know that these things are something that you cannot control. And people go through depression just, there were times when I was a single parent, and the kids didn't know it, you know, but I would be in my room crying, you know, and I was so depressed because I didn't know how I was going to get on to do the next thing or the next bill that had to be paid or whatever the kids need. And you fall into a state of depression. And I just want to talk to Brother Jeremiah, you know, as it related to grief. How did you, or did depression even, was that one of the stages that you dealt with when it came to the death of your friend?
Oh, yeah. Depression definitely was one of the stages. It really came later on as I got, I would say, like, around 18. And well, I probably was going through depression that whole time, just not knowing what depression was. But
right.
Once I got into the military, I started to go see somebody for, like, just talking, a therapist, because it was free pretty much. So, and I didn't even know, like, literally every single time I'll sit down and she'll just have a regular conversation with me and just talk to me about my past, and I'll start breaking down crying, like,
mm-hmm.
to a stranger at that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, it felt weird, you know, mm-hmm. the first times I was going, because it's like I'm not an emotional person, especially around people. So around somebody I know, it felt really weird. But
mm-hmm.
as you guys were saying, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So
mm-hmm.
the best way for him to do that is internally. So
mm-hmm.
to break down a person, the easiest way to do that is with their mind. So with,
mm.
that goes with grief, which can turn into depression because you're beating
mm-hmm.
yourself up about it. So that's why it's always good to just go talk to somebody. Like I never even thought I would go see a therapist. Like I thought that was some movie stuff growing up. But
mm-hmm.
in our community, we have to understand it betters people. And that's what we need to do.
Mm-hmm. That's good, Brother Jeremiah. What made you go see a therapist? Was it something that a provider asked you to do, or is it just something that one day you said, this is what I need?
My mother.
Oh.
Would
that be me?
Canonical.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, just having...
Okay.
And a lot of people don't have that, though. A lot of people don't have a mother to tell them they need to go see a therapist or a praying grandma. So, you know,
amen.
You can't get, a lot of people are not going to get that from their family. So God has placed people with their jobs to specifically do that and help you out to further your life, and is ultimately going to help your family out, because you're going to raise your kids better by dealing with your trauma that you had as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's good. That's good. Sister Lorraine, let's talk about this depression, you know, whether it's grief-related or just life-related.
You know, Sister Teresa, I'm with Jeremiah. When I first encountered depression, I didn't know what it was. There was a phase in my life, and it was not so much death as it was broken relationships, trying to live a healed life in a sickened condition. There had been so much trauma in my life as a child that I was responding out of it, but I didn't realize why. And so my depression came, and I was in a place where I didn't bathe
mm-hmm.
for weeks. I stayed in the house with the blinds closed. I was very fearful. I cried a lot, and I had two children at the time, and they basically had to fend for themselves. I didn't have the strength to get up to feed them. I didn't nurture them as a mother. I was a basket case. And so when people say that they don't believe in God, I don't have anybody else I can't believe in but God. There was a time in my kitchen on Weber Street when I lived in Michigan. I slid down the wall in my kitchen. And I knew at that moment when I was sliding down that wall that I was at a breaking point of I could lose my mind right now and be gone forever. But God said no. And now another thing that comes to mind, and I promise you I'm gonna quit after this. There was a time when I was in my bed and I was asleep, and my baby at the time was Valdemar. He was 8 months old. And he was in my bed, and I was to the place, Sister Teresa, where I wasn't changing diapers. My babies was wet. They were hungry. They was just in God's hand. And that particular day, I was laying in my bed, and I was dreaming. And in my dream, I had some water running, and I could hear that water less and less. I was moving further and further away from the sound of the water. And I knew that I was dying. I was literally dying, laying in my bed. And I heard a voice.
Yes, God.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. And I heard that singing.
Uh-oh, uh-oh.
And I began to draw, my spirit began to go towards that voice. And when I came to myself, my baby was singing in the name of Jesus.
So
you tell me God ain't real, you need to talk to the next lady, because this lady, I'm fully persuaded and I'm convinced of God, because he come and got me, because the devil was taking me. I was leaving this world and I was in a state of depression. So those that are walking in depression, lean towards God. He'll deliver you.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Shreve.
Amen. Amen. I can totally relate to that. Totally relate to that. My children, so often not knowing, you know, the state of mind that I was in, they were so influential in helping bring me out of depression. God used my children during that time. So I definitely can relate to that. Sister Roberta, talk to us about depression, whether life-related or grief-related. How can you help the people?
Well, I went through, when my father passed, I didn't want to go back to church. I didn't want to, actually, I didn't go back to church for a while. And a couple of sisters came to me, and they said, all right, that's enough of this. Get up. You're going to church. I had no, I didn't want to go back to church because I didn't want to deal with, hey, sister, the folk, you know, the I didn't feel, praise the Lord. Well, I didn't feel that way. Because I was hurting. I didn't feel like God was good because I was hurting. You know, and I, you know, if you come in there and say I'm hurting, you know, you know, what's wrong with you? You're a Christian. You don't know Jesus. You know, but I was hurting and I didn't feel that he was good. And they came and got me. So it's time for you to go back to church. And I started back to church, but I didn't know it was depression, you know, but it comes in different forms and in different ways. And there was times, you know, that the enemy told me one time, he says, I was really going through, seven kids, lost the house, everything. You know, the rug was pulled from under me. And he told me, he said, you might as well go on and kill yourself and your kids. He said, where y'all going to go? Y'all don't have no house.
Right.
Y'all don't have a house. You don't have, go on and kill yourself and get rid, you know, you'll be out of your pain, out of your misery. Your kids will be out of their pain and misery. And so I understand how people can do that type of thing, because the enemy, he speaks, he's a real enemy, and he speaks to us. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for people praying for me. I had a praying mother, praying, you know, and family members that were praying. So that's why it's so important that we pray for people. When people come to your mind, just begin to pray for them. Begin to talk to God. You don't have to know. You don't have to know, you know, and I often tell people, I don't want to know people's business. I have enough on my plate. Because when I know their business, that means that I got to go to God before on their behalf.
On their behalf, yes.
On their behalf. So that was the thing that helped me. The things I went through helped me to look at other people differently. And it was in my depression that I came to understand and know who Jesus really was. You have a relationship with me. You know, and I also went to get counseling. And the counselor, you know, he got to the place where he was asking me, do that make sense? I'm like, you're supposed to be, when am I going to get on the couch and lay down and talk to you? I want to get on the couch. I want this to be like it's on TV. You talk, you know.
Right.
And I'm talking to him, and he says, "How you know this?" I say, "I see you doing it." He said, "Oh my God!" Then he thought, "Did that make sense?" I'm like, "I'm here for you. I'm here for you to help me.
I need
you
help.
Know? So
yeah,
I need help. You know." But I tell people this: that people that are going through therapy is good, and also. When you use your whatever you do, if you sew, if you knit, if you that's therapeutic. You know, do things. Mm-hmm. When you start doing things, you know, it'll help you come out of that. It might seem crazy, but it works. You know, because you're using your brain for something, and you're not just sitting there being idle. But whatever you know, whatever it is, whatever you if you write, just start writing. Know that you're talented in. If you're singing, start singing. Do whatever you can, you know, to bring you out of that. Don't just sit like Lorraine. She starts singing. She's a singer, but God wouldn't give me that song because he know I can't sing, you know. That would hurt his ears. So it's whatever you can do. If you draw it. You know, just don't sit idle by. Just start doing things. You know, if you can't, you're not around anybody. You might not have a friend, family. But you do have God. You know, start doing things. Just start, you know, I used to bake cakes, and I started baking cakes and decorating cakes and stuff. Pick up a hobby. Start going, pick up a hobby. You don't need a lot of money. If you just start coloring. You can't color in books. Do something. Just don't let the devil talk to you.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. We used to see you coloring at the table. We're like, no, what's wrong with her? But now me with my grown self, I done went and bought me a coloring book and some color pencils, and I find myself. I'm gonna color one page, and it's 5 hours later, and a whole canvas is completed. So it is very therapeutic, and when I'm going through,
get big mad when the grandkids be saying, "Granny, let me use your love or not here on using my pencil."
No. You can't use my color pencils. No. I'll give you some crayons, but you can't use my color pencils. But it's very therapeutic. It really is. And yeah, I mentioned earlier journaling. It's interesting because just on last night, I was leaving work. I've had a long work week. I mean, couple nights I worked to 11 p.m. this week, and I was just exhausted, and all I could think about yesterday was coming home. You know, I just want to come home, and I just don't want to do nothing. And a girlfriend called and said, "Hey, can you do dinner?" And I was just like, yeah, you know, it was a slow yeah, but I was like, okay. But I could tell in her voice she needed to talk. And she and I went to dinner yesterday, and it was just that. It was talking. And as she finished just emptying out to a place where she felt safe, to a person that she felt safe with, when she finished emptying out, she cried. And she said, "I needed this so much.
I needed this. She said, because I hold so much in, you know, and I walk around like I'm okay. And I walk around that like it doesn't hurt. And I walk around like with a smile on my face. She said, but it gets to a point where people don't even see. I'm crying and the tears are going behind my eyes. I can feel my tears dripping down behind my eyes because she said, I'm torn up in the inside and I don't have a release. And I told her, I said, you do now. Don't you ever feel like you have to go through something alone. You have to know that God has always placed someone in your life that can help you. Someone where you can go and say, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. Yep. I know it looks good on the outside. I know I'm driving this pretty car and I'm living in this pretty house. And I look, you know, nice in these name brand things, but I'm not okay. The inside is torn to pieces. I'm broken inside. I need help. So for that person, whoever you are, and you're going through depression, I've been there. I've been there, and I'm sure I'll continue to go through things, but you have to know that you have to have somebody. God has already put somebody in your life to help you. Put somebody in your life, even if they can't help you, if they can just listen to you cry, if they can listen to your pain, if they can listen so you can release, that's your help. That's your help. Because depression is something that it wants to take us all out, you know. If it can keep us stifled, if it can keep us paralyzed and rooted in some mess that we ain't got no business being rooted in, it wins. But we serve a God. We serve a God who's bigger than depression. So we speak against depression. And we pray now in Jesus' name, anybody who's listening that's going through it. And like we all basically just said, we were going through it and we didn't even know. We were depressed.
Yep.
We just knew something wasn't right. Something wasn't right. So to that single mother, to that single father, to that husband and that wife, to that child that's in a household, you know, where things are in unrest and you don't know what to do, you know something just ain't quite right.
Yep.
Number one, take it to God. And then find you somebody to release that pain to. Amen?
Amen.
Ooh, Lord. I don't know where that came from. Brother Chris, you just being bad with that music.
I couldn't help it. The band would not stop, so I had to let it go.
Pastor Chris, I know you set the band off, but I'm gonna let you talk. I'm gonna let you talk just a little bit about depression. Now you be good, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I can relate as well to depression because when I was broken, literally, my body was broken, and I fell into a depression when I was in that hospital bed. There was no more flowers, no more people. It was just me laying there. Okay, I can't walk. I'm all broke up. The doctor said I'll never probably walk again or walk normal again. I got so much to do. My baby girl was just born. She's at home. She's on oxygen. What am I supposed to do? I felt like I needed to end it. Honestly, I'm going to be straight up. When I felt so abandoned by church folk. I'm saying church folk. I'm not saying the ones that are the true believers, the ones that are religiously sound. See, we get these bandwagon saints. And see, bandwagon saints only stay around when you're popular or when you're doing something that looks good, sounds good, smells good. But then at the end of the day, when you need them the most, it's just you and God, and it takes God to pull you out of it, because the first thing the devil attacks is your mind. When your mind is gone, your spirit is gone. but you have to protect that thing like it's the last thing in your life. Like you would give your life to your child if you see somebody coming to bring harm to him or her. Ooh. We got to protect our mind because the battlefield is in the mind. And if we don't protect it, the devil's going to wreak havoc in your life, and you're going to end up doing something you're going to regret for the rest of your life, or you'll never be able to do nothing again because you allowed the devil to play head games with you. And when your head and your mind is gone, your heart is gone because you don't feel nothing. You get numb. You do fall down a wall. You're ready to jump off a bridge. But I'm telling you, if you allow God to be a relationship counselor in your life, I know what I'm talking about. When I got rid of my big head and my decrees on my wall, oh, I'm this and I'm that, God had to strip me to the point where it was all about him and me. See, you got me started, and I'm going to be quiet. So, sister, back to you.
Sister Tracy.
Yes.
There is a place in depression where you capitalize on being victims. And you have to have people around you that can lovingly bring you back center square, where they tell you, yes, you were molested. Yes, you were done wrong. But yes, there is a solution to the problem. So do you want to remain in the sink? Or do you want to get up and get cleaned up and let's keep moving forward?
Yeah.
Well, I thank God because I had those kind of people who knew how to love the hell out of me and get me back on my square and not allow me to remain victim because I had been victimized.
Mm.
Ever since I can remember, I had been sexually violated. I was a little girl. I can remember men's hands in my underwear. I remember that.
Mm.
But I couldn't say that, little girl. I had to grow up. I had to grow up. I had to become a woman. You know why, Sister Tracy? Because you were coming along. You were coming along behind me, and God was going to put me in touch with you, and had some man had his hand in your underwear, then I needed to be able to speak to you.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't bear to speak to you if I was still that little girl on that back porch with that man's hand in my underwear.
Yeah.
So for those that are being victims, that are victims, get up. Because there's another victim that's coming behind you. And they need you to survive.
Jesus.
But you can help them survive. What I went through as a little girl had nothing to do with me. It was about somebody else who I had to introduce to Christ. And I had to give myself. Because you as a woman, whatever you've gone through in your life, do you want to hear about the book I read, or do you want to hear about the walk I walk?
Come on.
You want to listen to the first. If you are in the fire, do you want a firefighter coming in there getting you, or would you like for your mama to come in there and get burned up too? We need experienced people on the path today. We need to release experienced people to minister in our house.
Yeah.
And quit trying to say it's got to come through me because my name is on the building.
I don't care who
comes in and get me. You can be black, white, purple, green. As long as you know what you're doing, come get me. But don't you bring your own stuff in there. I read a book one time. I don't want to hear about no book. I got a book. I want somebody to know what they're talking about. I want somebody with some experience. I want somebody with some faith to walk with me when I'm going through the fire. I want somebody coming in with an extra 5 feet and get me.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you come in there with a cupcake. I don't need a cupcake. I need a deliverer.
Jesus.
You be quiet,
Jesus.
Pastor Chris. Go ahead, Sister Tracy.
Hello.
Oh, Jesus.
See, that's what's wrong. This show is, I don't know, Sister Tracy, you better get this thing under control. You in the leadership. Pastor Chris is acting up.
He is cutting up. Even after I told him to act right. But listen, God wants to do something with depression on today. It's some people on... this cause that's dealing with depression. And God says, it breaks today. God says, no more. God says, you're coming out today. So we're going to deal with this thing. We're going to walk through it. We're going to deal with it. Because healing needs to take place. We can't stay stuck. We cannot stay stuck. We have to heal so that we can move on. And like Sister Lorraine said, it's not about you. What you went through was never about you. It's about the people that you are going to come in contact along this life's journey that you have to tell your story to. And it makes no sense to tell your story if you haven't overcome. You've got to overcome that thing that the enemy meant to keep you bound. So how do we do that? We get up. We get up and we decide today is the day that I lift my hands in total surrender to God. And I said, God, you take it. You take the depression. You take the hurt. You take the pain. Lord, you know what I've been through. You know what I'm feeling. But God, you are in control because you are the great I am. So when we do that, we become free. The things that had us bound have to break. The chains that were connected, that were free, they unclean. They have to be broken. They have to set us free. They have to set us loose because we call on the great I am. When we call on Jesus, it's something that happens in the spiritual realm. It's something that has to move. So whatever has you bound on today, whatever it is, we declare and we decree that you are free. You are delivered. You are free. You walk. You stand and you say, Lord, I say yes. I say total yes to you on this day. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, if you're driving, you better dance without hitting the pedal. But give God some praise for deliverance on today. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for delivering us from grief. We thank you for delivering us from depression. We thank you for delivering us from oppression, God. We thank you, dear God, that we are healed and we are set free on today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, we say yes. God, we say yes. Hallelujah. Completely yes.
Hallelujah.
We want all of you, dear God. We want all of you, so we give you all of us, dear God. Now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, God. Woo!
Hey.
Oh, God.
Woo! Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mr. Pastor Chris.
I can't stop him. I can't stop him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jeremiah, I dare you just to stop giving God praise. I dare you. Hallelujah. God, I surrender my life to you. Hallelujah. If you do it,
hallelujah. Everything you've done, Lord. Everything you've done, Lord. Thank you for my family life, Lord. My friends, my God. Thank you for everything, Lord. Thank you for your sunshine, Lord.
About us. This is an agenda that we have. This is about ministry. This is about being able to share our stories so that people are set free, so they can walk in the unity and the knowledge and the strength of God. That's what this is about. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I just bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. The righteous. Psalms 34:17 says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them, and he delivers them from all their troubles. So regardless of what you're going through, if you just cry out to God, you cry out, he hears you. I just hear God saying, there's single mothers and single fathers that are struggling. But if you just cry out, if you cry out, he's your ever-present help. Just let him know, Lord, I don't know how to do this. Lord, but I want to do it your way. I want to walk upright with you. That's all you have to do. Have a conversation with him like you would any other person, because it's relational and it's personal. Just let him know what's inside, what you're feeling. Even if you feel like, Lord, I can't do that, say that. Tell him that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be set free, because he already knows what's inside you. He made you. So he knows what's there. Amen. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So it was crooked, but then when I called on Jesus, my pathway was made straight. That right there is enough to give God some glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because he loves us that much. He loves us that much. And then Psalms 9:9, the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed. A stronghold in times of trouble. So when you're going through that depression, just know that he is your strength. That's all we have to do is tap into him. Tap into him. Amen.
Amen.
Woo, Lord have mercy, have mercy. We got a whole nother stage, Jesus. Good God of mercy.
And so many things that can get us here, Sister Tracy. A lot of times when we think about grief, we automatically go to the mindset of death. And it does not necessarily have to be death. You know, it could be a loss of a job. It could be the death of a relationship. The person is still living and walking around every day, and you not knowing how to heal from that. So there are a lot of things that bring us grief.
Yes. I said last week, you know, my divorce, my first marriage, when I divorced, you know, I went through a stage of grief, because that wasn't supposed to be, you know.
Right.
I was supposed to work this thing out and stay the course, but good God Almighty, I had to get up out of there, y'all. But listen, even in that, you know, there was grief, there was depression, but I saw the strength that came from God. He gave me the strength to be able to parent 3 children when I didn't have the finances, you know, to make things the way I wanted them to be, you know, but I did what I could. But I tell you what, the center of everything I did, God was there. He was there.
Amen.
And he met every need, and he took care of me. He took care of my children. And then he had me in a place where I was able to buy a home, you know, and put my kids in a home. I was in an apartment, and God gave me a house. So if we just involve him, when we call on him, he answers. All he is waiting on is an invitation. Just an invitation. Amen. So the last stage is accepting, you know, of grief. Accepting the call that someone that you love died, accepting that you won't be able to hear their voice anymore, accepting that you won't be able to sup with them and dine with them, you know, and enjoy their master or whatever. We know that it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard for all of us. I don't care how deep and spiritual you think you are. When death knocks at your door, you are going to feel something. And the grief may not come. I think it was Sister Marquita last week that said, if the stages we went through doesn't mean they're going to come in that chronological order. It can come, you know, very far, you know, far-fetched from each other. But the thing is, it's coming. And we want to be able to help you in dealing with it. I wanted to ask Brother Jeremiah, if you calm down and catch your breath, I want to ask you, when it came to, you know, the death of your friend, the death of your grandparents, the acceptance part of it, how as a young man did you deal with the acceptance of the death?
Y'all had me doing high knees in here. Yeah, I'm gonna calm down now. But honestly, I don't think I must be going through that stage now still, because I've gotten better, but I still haven't totally accepted it. Like it still feels unreal, even though it's been years. It still doesn't feel real, and especially like with I went to my Grammy house last year to help clean out, and it just felt so weird because that was like probably the second time I've been there since for 5-6 years now. So it was just a real weird feeling. So I haven't really came to terms all the way, but like I said, talking about it is, I feel like that was the biggest step for me, just talking about it with, even if it's somebody you trusted or just a random person, just getting it out is one of the biggest steps, because it can make you, you know, it can eat away at you, and you don't want that to happen. So
Brother Jeremiah, with your friends, how do you guys, when you experience, you know, grief or death, how do you talk to each other? Because I know sometimes you say, oh, boy, it's going to be all right, but how do you, especially as a young man who believes God, how do you talk to your friends when it comes to grief?
Just try to relay the messages that's told to me from my family, honestly. Just turning to God for everything. You know, we actually got to get better. Me and my friend was just talking about this, actually. Like, we got to get better at communicating within our circle, because, you know, growing, especially with death and grief, because 16, you know, we definitely don't know how to talk to each other then. So it was years where we just held it in, and, you know, we'll talk about it. We're like, oh, yeah, man, that's crazy. Still can't believe it. But we never got in full, you know, detail about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, and that's a lot with our generation now. I think that's a big problem, because we don't talk to each other about how we're feeling. And we're probably all feeling the same way, but we don't step up and talk to each other, so.
Mm-hmm. How about crying? Is that forbidden with the young black man when you're dealing with your friends? Is that something that you encourage?
Personally, I don't cry that much. But like the day of the funeral, that was probably the first time I seen a lot of my friends even shed a tear, you know, and everybody was boo-hoo crying. But, you know, we really don't cry like that around each other. But, no, it's not like somebody would call you weak or anything. We're not you know, nothing like that. But maybe people really feel like that deep down inside, they'll be looked to as weak. And that's just it's the world we live in, unfortunately.
Right. Well, it's good that you are able to take, you know, the word back to them in order to encourage them and give them hope as a young black man, because, you know, like I said, everyone is going to experience some type of death or grief of a loved one. Sister Lorraine, did you catch your breath, sis?
I caught my breath, baby.
All right. What do you feel when it comes to acceptance and, you know, dealing with death and grief and being able to talk about it? I know a lot of times in the body of Christ,
we are scared to go and talk to someone because, one, we don't want to hear about it again.
Mm-hmm.
And two, we don't know how they're going to look at us, how we're going to be perceived.
That's true.
How can
you... Go ahead, babe.
Go ahead.
Well, acceptance is an extended process in my eye, because we say the words "I accept" and "I'm going to move forward," and then we hear a song or the wind blows just right, and we find ourselves right back where we started in trying to accept this thing again. And so I believe that when we get to a place where we want to accept what's inevitable in our lives, that we need to understand that this process is not instantaneous. So trust the process, though. The process, when it begins, you know you're in this process, so just trust it and go with it. And when you find yourself back at square one, just work the process again. Just make up in your mind, I want to be free of this. I had a relationship that comes to mind today as you were talking, and this relationship brought me much grief when it ended.
Mm-hmm.
It ended abruptly, mm-hmm. and it ended wrong. And I'm the type mm-hmm. of person, I don't mind letting you go, but I like to talk about stuff. You understand? I like to get an understanding about why we going our separate ways, and what did I do wrong in this relationship, and explain myself. I'm that the type of person I am. And I didn't get a chance to explain myself. And so I find myself trying to accept the breakup of this relationship, not being able to talk about it. And I think that I've moved on, and then I see them, and I'm right back. Mm. I'm big mad again. I'm big mad mm-hmm. because I don't understand. And so mm-hmm. I believe that acceptance is a ticket out of jail, Sister Tracy. But it's like, because you're imprisoned yourself. That person that you are grieving over sometimes, they've gone on, they've remarried, they've got 15 kids, they've got a job, a house on the hill with a white picket fence around it, they driving a good car, they eating good, and you over here with a can of nothing, hungry. And you're still holding them because you're still grieving over the breakup of the relationship. And so somewhere you got to get to the place where you want better for yourself. You want to get out of jail. You want to be free.
Yeah.
And some people are not literally behind bars, but they're more behind bars than the guy that's at the county, because they're holding themselves in a state of grief. And I want to be truly free. So I'm working through some processes right now. Even as we speak, and this relationship comes to mind today, that it's a process, it's a progress in progress. There you go. And I like to ask Jeremiah, says, how old he is, because I'm always fascinated with young men, and I like for people to know that all of our young men are not talking like, yeah. You know, we got some intelligent ones. Jeremiah, how old are you, son?
I'm 24 now.
24. Very good.
Yeah.
I just want people to know that you're not just talking like you're talking like a granddaddy, but you're just 24 years old, and I love it.
Oh, Papa on the phone. Papa
on the phone.
Amen, Sister Lorraine. I can appreciate that when it comes to relationships. I've had some relationships that have died. I mean, literally died. And even if I tried to go and water them, the person wasn't open. You know, they didn't reciprocate the same need for the relationship that I had. So I can relate to that. And there is a grief process associated with that. It really is, for people that you truly love, you know. So I appreciate you sharing that. Sister Roberta, are you back with us? She said she got cut off, so I'm not sure if she's was able to come back or not.
Okay, I'm here.
Oh, there she is.
Oh, there she goes.
Hey there.
Hi there. I'm here. I I was doing my senior citizen dance. You know, I found out I can't you have to do the senior citizen dance. But,
but you dance nonetheless. You dance.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
But I thank God, but you're talking about acceptance. And when you get to that state, I think of best illustrated is that if you lose a limb, if you lose an arm, and you lose your arm, your mind tells you that it's there. You still feel everything, and your mind keeps telling you that it's there. But you have to accept the fact that it's not there. But your mind keeps reminding you, if you feel the pain, you feel everything, that if your arm was there. But to accept it means that I have to move on, learning how to use my other hand, arm, to do what the left one used to do. It's not there anymore. It's not coming back.
Wow, that's good talk.
Yeah. It's not coming back. So that's acceptance. When you accept the fact that it's gone. So this is my new norm. Now I don't have my left arm. But I don't lay down and die because I don't have my left arm. I have to learn how to function and operate without it. So this is my new norm. It's not coming back. So I have to move forward without the left arm. And it's the same thing with the loved one that has gone. When you come into the acceptance that, you know, this person is not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
This person is gone. So my new norm now is to get up and continue on without that person. Now my mind tells me that my arm is there, and I feel everything that I used to feel with the arm. But reality is, it's not.
Yeah.
So with the new norm, with that person, as you know, my mom, you know, she's gone, and sometimes I miss her, and I want to talk to her so bad, and I say, you know what, I really miss you. I wish you was here to share this with me. But I just don't throw it away. I always go back to, I really miss you. I wish you was here. But it's the new norm.
That's good.
Sister Tracy. Did you see on Facebook yesterday, Michelle went over to Thelma's house? Did you see that tour yesterday?
I did not. No, I did not.
Did you see it, Roberta?
No,
Yeah, she went to Thelma's house, and she said there was a guy cutting the grass, and she asked him, could she go inside, and he told her yes. She went inside, and she took a video of the whole entire house, and it was just something to see that, and how even in people's absence, they still minister to our hearts, because we never forget the impactful things that they do in our lives, and it was just a pleasant surprise to revisit the inside of that home on yesterday, and I just wanted to know if you saw that.
Amen. I can only imagine. I hadn't seen it. I'm gonna have to go back and check that out.
On Michelle Harrison's page.
Amen. Well, Brooke, Pastor Chris, I'm gonna give you a couple minutes to talk to us about acceptance, and then we're gonna go to callers. Now, Pastor Chris, you have to be good. I know I told you this the last time, and I don't think you can pee, but this time you're going to be good, right?
Yeah. I'm going to be good. Last time I had a Holy Ghost cotton in my ear, so I couldn't quite hear you. So I was in the spirit, and I just had to let loose. But yeah, I really don't have anything to really say, because you ladies pretty much knocked it out the park. And because I'm on restriction now, I'm going to be good. So I'm going to prepare myself to take the callers, because I'm not trying to start another praise break. And I feel it, and I need to be good. And I'm going to – we don't have time left, so we want to get to the callers.
Chris,
so that's my two
cents. I'm not tired, Pastor Chris. Pastor Chris, I'm not,
oh, you're not
tired. I did the senior citizen dance, so I still got some in me. Say they just bucked. You can do a praise break for me, you know, because I'm not tired. I know how to do the senior citizen dance. See.
Hello.
These people do not know how to behave. I'm glad I'm doing good today. I'm going to get a sucker. Y'all not getting no
you
sucker,
sure
Pastor Chris, you and Roberta.
Well, that's just, well, you chilling this week. And that's
yes.
Why you just chilling. But see,
I
know back there, you over there, I know you got your foot stomping.
Mm-hmm.
And I know your head is going from left to right real fast. And then your right arm,
mm-hmm.
like you trying to keep yourself in that chair because you're not the main
mm-hmm.
host today. But I know you was in the background getting your praise on, making sure you don't break nothing. See, let me stop.
That's
you
right.
Get me started.
That's right.
So let's get to the car. Okay, stop. Bam. Stop. All right.
Jesus, you might have a talk with that man.
Back to you.
Oh, goodness.
I can't deal.
We are going to take our callers. Do we have any callers today, Pastor Chris?
Yes, ma'am. We have a lot of callers this morning. Well, this
amen.
Afternoon, rather.
Amen.
So, callers, we will only read the last four digits of your phone number. So, the first caller up, 7991, 7991. You are live on the air. God bless you.
Oh, hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, I was just saying I enjoyed the lesson today. It really brought back a lot of thoughts that I had that I thought I had them not, that I had buried inside. So I really appreciate the message.
Amen. What a wonderful thing to say.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Amen. God bless you. Next caller, 6015. 6015, you are live on the air. God bless you.
Unmute your phone, sister.
Don't.
Unmute, Lucille. Lucille, do you hear me? I hear you now, darling.
Ma'am.
You hear me now? I hear you now.
We enjoyed the program, and like my cousin said, it brought up a lot of memory of what passed and gone,
mm-hmm.
but... it made me think whether or not I grieve for my husband when he passed, because I kept busy helping somebody else. And make me feel like I didn't have time to grieve, but I really enjoyed the program today. Y'all have a blessed day, and we really enjoyed it.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling. 5551. 5551, you are live on the air. God bless you.
I'm just listening, Pastor Chris.
Amen. Well, we appreciate
you
calling in.
I know you got something to say, Marquita. I know you got something to say.
I'm so full right now. I'm so full. I can say, good, like Campbell's food, because God is up to something. And with May being the Mental Health Awareness Month and how God just shifted everything, and turned it around to depression, I'm just in all of God, in the move of God. So keep going forward.
Amen.
See, pretty, get in your car, come out here and fix me Mother's Day dinner. That's what you do. Go on, Chris, because I'm in the flesh now.
Okay. Thank you for calling, Maquetta. 8638. 8638, you're live on the air. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I really enjoyed the buffet today. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers on the line. Happy birthday, sister. This is Margaret.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank
you for
calling.
2985, you are live on the air. God bless you.
This radio station is off the hook. It is so wonderful to hear everything that I've heard thus far. But I want to share something right quick. Tracy brought up guilt earlier in the program.
Mm-hmm.
This is her Aunt Ruby. I went through a thing with guilt because
I heard God speak to my heart in the midst of a gathering at my brother-in-law's home. And he told me to speak to a young man and to anoint the young man with some oil. And because of how our men used to feel about us women, always doing things and had our mouth open and, you know, thinking we were preachers or whatever, I failed to obey God. And my goddaddy went back home, and that Monday morning he was shot and killed. And I was so torn. It took me a long time because I blamed myself. I felt guilty because I knew I didn't obey what God had told me to do. And I was asking my friend that was in the circle, she said, God spoke to you, you do it. And it just kept going over and over in my mind for months. And it took a lot of prayer. I had to get on a fast to be able to get myself back in the right standing, knowing that God, you know, wasn't holding that guilt or anything over my head. But I wondered what would have happened had I obeyed God. So I was glad that that was said today about guilt. And depression, it'll take me too long. I took a seven-day journey where I wouldn't unlock my door. My neighbor kept leaving notes on my door. I wouldn't even go to my mailbox. I was in depression, but I didn't call it depression. I just said I was taking me a quiet time, but I was locked down in depression. And I screamed out on that seventh day. And I asked God, I said, why didn't you just let me die?
My Lord.
And God said, and told me the reason. He said, the reason I let you live is the same reason that I sent my son to this world, to tell others about me. So you guys have really, really touched my heart today. I thought last week was something, but this was the biggest steak I ever ate today on this buffet.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord.
Wonderful job for God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God. Bless you. Got me full already.
God bless
you. I didn't dance. I messed with my heart.
Amen. God bless. Thank you.
God bless you.
We need to start putting the disclaimer on this show. But anyway, let me stop. Next caller, 2824. You are live on the air. God bless you.
Good morning. Just listening in.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Thank you so much
Amen.
For calling. Next caller, 4000. Zero. You are live on the air.
Priscilla,
well,
hey.
Yes, ma'am. Hi.
Hey.
I am always blessed listening to the buffet. But today, what's her name, Sister Tracy?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Your friend that you was talking about that speech.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh, Jesus.
Amen.
Mm.
Glory, glory, glory.
Ooh.
Ah.
Wow. Mm. Ooh, Jesus.
Jesus.
Mm. You about to start something. See, we try to calm down. See, but
let me stop right there.
That's
Father, in Jesus' name.
God,
deliverance is at her house now. You knock on her door now. And let God let her open up the door that you might come in and set her free. We come for her today, Lord God. We set ourselves in agreement. We're warring in the realm of the spirit for her today, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The blood of Jesus Christ is against you. And by you is Christ. She healed, God. And she'll walk in freedom today. She'll walk in freedom today. Her eyes have been opened. Her ears have been opened. Her heart has been stirred towards you, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that your blood covers her now in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you that she opened up her mouth so that you could feel it. In Jesus'
yes.
mighty name. Anybody else got a word of prayer? Go ahead and pray now if you got a word.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you.
Thank you.
Your hands. If you can lift your hands, bless them now. In total
thank
surrender.
You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
No, 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 no.
Oh, hold on, hold on, hold on. Say, candle, hold on.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you for the good report in Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor. 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 Thank you Yes,
you are
free.
Choose to be free. Choose to break the chain. Choose to be new in Jesus Christ's holy name. You have the ability. Don't let no one tell you you can't do it, because God can do it. When you are on your last, cry out to Jesus Christ, and he will meet you where you are. This ain't about religion. It's about relationship. And since you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, this ain't a religious thing. It's a relationship thing. It's just like having a relationship with your child. It's just like having a relationship with your mama, Pookie, or JJ. But I'm telling you right now, all you have to do is choose to be with Jesus, and he will bring the people in your life that will guide you to healing. He will do it.
Amen.
The devil wants you to think that it's nothing. The devil wants you to think it's over. He's got you caught in a corner, but that's when my God does his best work. When you're standing in the corner, taking blows from the left or right, you're taking blows in the face, but I'm telling you, the cup man, which is the Holy Spirit, is going to come into your life and seal those wounds that you've been taking, and he's going to break those chains off of you. But you have to watch God in a way that you never wanted them before, and you don't have to be super religious. All you got to do is call on his name. Man, let me stop. See, y'all getting started today. But I just wanted to encourage you, sis. Thank you so much for calling. We
thank you for
God
calling.
For you. And you can always listen to this show again if you need encouragement. We praise God for you. Thank you so much for calling. Because it wasn't by coincidence that you called in.
No.
God bless you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, God.
Praise
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Ooh, Jesus.
Next,
Jesus.
We got three more callers. Ooh. Let me get through this before we go crazy.
Okay.
54,
okay.
56,
okay.
54, 56. You are live on the air. God bless you.
Hey, Deborah, are you muted?
Oh.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
Yes, you are.
That's
okay.
I'm just saying happy Mother's Day to you all and wish the best.
Thank you, baby.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Pastor Chris.
3941. 3941, you are live on the air. God bless you.
Hey, Rose. Unmute your phone, Rosemary.
It's not muted.
Oh, bless your heart. You good, Rose?
You're not good.
Da 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 da
da da da da da da da da da da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da
da da da da da da da da da da da da
da da da da da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da
Yes, yes,
God.
Yes,
God. Oh, yeah,
God.
We thank you for your deliverance. We thank you for your deliverance.
Keep coming, baby.
Let her know that you're with her, Father God. Let her know all that you're lost, you are her, Father God. Comfort her, Lord God. Give her peace of mind, Father God. Give her your peace, Father. That passes all understanding. Let her know, Father God. She's in grief, Father God. Meet her there. Meet her there. Meet her there, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, my son, thank you for delivering her now. Thank you for setting her free right now, Lord God.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Receive peace now.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Yeah. Almighty God, we serve. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for deliverance. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah,
Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Now faith. Thank you for calling.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for allowing the Spirit of God to lead you and guide you and direct you to this line on today. For God has set you free. And that is them that God has set free, you're free indeed. And don't you dare let the enemy cause you to be bound anymore past today. Walk in the freedom of God. God bless you. We on the buffet love you to life, and we thank you for calling.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor
thank
Chris.
You.
3066. You are live. God bless you.
Hey, amen. I'm just here enjoying and touching and agreeing on everything with all the breakthroughs. Y'all keep up the great work.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Yeah,
thank you
for
God.
Calling.
Hallelujah.
We got two more left. 8637. 8637, you are live on the air. God bless you.
Hello, everyone. This is Rose. I'm just listening. You guys are doing an awesome job, and I'm just excited for what's in store and what God's doing with the show. Y'all have a blessed day.
God bless you,
Rosalie. Last caller, 4483, you are live on the air. God bless you.
Good evening, everyone. This is Pastor Jackson. I want to say to the caller, you may a lot of things been headed at your way. You call at the right time. You may not understand everything you just heard, but all you need to do is touch and agree with what you call into. You may not understand it right now, but you'll see the manifestation within a few days or even as now we talk. Because we don't understand how a phone can call to California and call different places. So don't try to understand it. Just accept it. Accept what you have heard. Accept what you have heard. When you call in, you got immediately help. And accept it. You don't understand it. Don't allow nothing to come in and try to take it away from you. God is just here, a quick God. He's a right now God. So he gives, when the enemy gave you them thoughts and the enemy, you open your mouth and God will show you how fast he can work. So just take it and leave. Don't try to put no other thoughts. from you get off this line, you continue trust and believe God, and believe God answered you. Immediately when you called out, the Lord answered you. He have a word for you just that quick. So don't allow nothing to snatch it away. You've been blessed. You're already blessed. So you've been healed. Just believe it. Just say it. Don't, you may not understand it. Just say, I'm not there no more. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I received it. Thank God for his answering us. So that's what you're into right now. God is just like fast. So he had took care of you already. Don't go no further. Just believe it. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Jackson.
Thank you, callers. It wasn't by coincidence you called in. So, Sister Lorraine, Sister Tracy, Sister Roberta, back to you.
Listen, I am in total awe of the power of God. The power, the power, the power, the matchless power of God.
Yeah.
I just want to close, first of all, thank you once again, Sister Lorraine and Sister Roberta, for allowing me to be your guest host. Brother Jeremiah, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your commitment and for showing up. You know, I just want everyone to go in peace on today. God has already worked it out. You have been made whole.
Amen.
You have been made whole. Amen. I know it's the end of the show. I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. And I want to leave you with this. Grief is the process that God uses to bring us to a place of wholeness. Amen. So we go.
Amen.
Grief is a part of life. We go on and we do it so that we can heal and be made whole. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. See you next week. Amen.
Amen. Bye-bye. Pastor Chris.
I was in certain danger, caught in the crossfire of hope and regret. Thought I could be my own savior, but I'm sinking, sinking fast. 'Cause it's too much to handle alone in the battle. I'm desperate for you, Lord. Heart under fire, facing defeat, so close to surrender to my enemy. But love came from heaven to fight for me. When I am defenseless, you climb in the trenches with me. Faithful from the beginning, you felt my pain, you have been where I've been, and I hear you say, it is finished, it is written, we win in the end. Heart under fire, face in defeat, so close to surrender to my enemy.
Take TPV Radio with you 24/7. Just download Live 365 app from your Apple or Google Play Store. Like us on Facebook at TPV Radio or www.tpvradionetwork.com. Walk with us, family. Let's go! TPV Radio, Central Texas.